Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you that we can gather once again. We thank you for this day, this last day of the conference here, a full day. And although we'll meet again in the morning as we kind of break camp, and so to speak, after breakfast. But lead us, Lord, with the prayer that we will look at this morning, as there again is something here for each of the children of God, I believe. And so guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to be in 2 Kings today, actually 2 Kings 6. And Rick Chafin mentioned this in his message the other night, which was kind of interesting. We're going to be talking about spiritual reality versus physical reality. And I think the premise is that for the child of God, the spiritual reality should be more important than the physical reality, right? But how often do we put about 90% on the physical reality and about 10% or less on the spiritual reality? In chapter 17 today, there is a little prayer in Elisha, whichever you want to pronounce it. I don't think there's any long I's in Hebrew, but anyway, in English it is. So Elisha or Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And so that is one of the premises here in this prayer today. So let's begin by just joining in this song, praise song, really. Open my eyes that I may see. And the words are on the top. And as you look at the top there, if you just scan to the right and down a little bit, you'll see this city, Dothan or Dothan. Dothan was where Joseph was sold into slavery back in Genesis. It's only mentioned twice in the scriptures. That is where that dashed line trail or road comes down from Syria and up north on down toward Egypt. And that's where Joseph was sold into slavery. And now we will have this setting of this prayer today in Dothan, where the king of Israel will be... They will be attempting to find him by finding Elisha, and the king of Syria will send the army to surround that city of Dothan. Back to open my eyes that I may see. Let's sing along, and I think that's just a great prayer for all of us. I'm not necessarily suggesting we open our physical eyes, although it's kind of probably good to use those too, but we're talking about spiritually speaking, right? Open my eyes that I may see. Let's sing along. Well, 2 Kings 6, Pastor Rick quoted this particular chapter, some of it anyway, the other night in his message, we have the floating axe head. We have the sons of the prophets that he was talking about, you know, the sons of the prophets who were zealous in their being on mission, but they were really doing the wrong thing because they were trying to find Elijah after God had taken him away. But as we get to verse 8, we shift to the king of Syria. And the king of Syria is having a problem because he wants to kill Jehoram, the king of Israel. And Jehoram, according to Josephus, liked to hunt wild game, and he liked to hunt in the area of this general region in northern Italy because there were wild animals there at that time. So it was Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria's plan to set an ambush so he could kill King Jehoram when he went to hunt. But every time he set the ambush plans, Elisha knew about it, and so Elisha would tell the king of Israel, don't go there because they're waiting to kill you. So it happened repeatedly, so the king of Syria got fed up with it. He was sure he had spies or a spy or a mole in his high-ranking staff because only they were the ones who knew where this ambush was going to be. He calls them together, which one are you, the spy? And one of the guys said, well, none of us. It's that prophet in Israel, Elisha. He tells the king, even what you say in your bedroom. That must have got his attention. We ought to put that on a sticker and send it to every leader in the world today. The Lord knows what you're doing in your bedroom and everywhere else, right? For accountability, because we all are accountable to Him, but there's so many today do not know that and do not act like that, particularly the rulers. And so now we have a plan developing. And what does the king of Syria decide to do? And this is almost humorous when you think of it. He is going to send an army. First, he sends spies down to find out where Elisha is. And Elisha's headquarters at that time was in Dothan. And so he now decides to send a large army to Dothan. Does he realize that Elisha knows every move he's making? And he's going to try to send this army to surprise this guy, I guess, and capture him and kill him. So he sends this army with lots of chariots and lots of horses, and they surround this little town of Dothan. So the passage kind of begins then with the servant of Elisha. We don't know who that is. I don't think it's Gehazi at that point, because he has, earlier in chapter 4, he was given leprosy because of the way he violated that and lied to the Syrian, to Naaman at that point, to get the money and get the robes, and he did that wrongfully. So he got leprosy. But it's interesting, you say, well, in chapter 8, he's mentioned again. Well, chapter 8, chronologically, in Chronicles, comes before chapter 6. But whoever the servant is, we don't know. It's just his servant goes out, and he sees all these chariots and horses and thousands of soldiers surrounding the little city, and he comes back freaked out, right? He has the physical reality, right? He's seeing this, and he says, alas, alas, master, what shall we do? Now, I'm sure in your mission field, you never come into a situation where you, in a sense, say, alas, alas, what shall we do? Probably like every hour, or maybe every other hour. But again, I go back to the point I made earlier, was for the child of God, we should pay more attention to the spiritual reality than the physical reality, because the spiritual reality is much more important. And again, that verse in 2 Corinthians was mentioned yesterday. The things that we see are passing away, but the things are unseen are eternal. So the reality for the believer is the spiritual reality, right? We're all going to heaven. I'm sure you can all see the details of heaven, right? And when you see them, tell me what they are, because I'm kind of interested too. But we aren't told any of the physical realities of heaven, really. We're told a few things. In fact, when Apostle Paul had that vision of went into the third heaven, what did he see? He came back with a report. He didn't even say anything what he saw, does he? All he says is what he heard. So it's not that we want to be with the Lord so we can see the streets of gold. I mean, that'll be great, but we want to see Him, and we want to hear from Him, and we want to be in His presence, right? Anyway, back to this story. We read then in verse 16 of 2 Kings 6, Elisha tells his servant, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Underline that verse. That's a verse you need to remember. Because you will say, oh, are you kidding? Man, where I'm serving, I mean, there's 500, there's 1,000 unbelievers to every believer. I mean, there's so many more of them than are of us, we don't have a chance. We'll go back to this verse. There's more of us than there are of them. Who is he talking about? Well, you go to Psalms and some other places, it says thousands upon thousands, 20,000 times thousands of angels. That's who we have access to in the spiritual realm. And so he says, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Elisha prayed, here's the prayer, Yahweh, or Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Okay, that's a prayer for each of us, right? May the Lord open our eyes that we may see. Moment by moment, day by day, hour by hour. At conferences, sure, but even more so when you're quiet and alone. I was thinking, one of the things we all may need to do, should do this morning, is instead of praying aloud, just sit here quiet for an hour. It'd probably freak you all out. But I mean, these conferences are busy. I mean, you're struggling to get here. And then about halfway through the conference, you think about all the things you got to do when you get out of here. And you want to rush out of here and catch your plane or whatever. And I mean, it's just right. And you say, what happened? Oh, yeah, I had some good food. Oh, I met a nice guy or gal or whatever. And I was encouraged by the messages. But I got to get on with my life, right? I got to get on with my ministry. I got to get back and I got to, you know, where are we in seeing, opening our eyes and our ears to see and hear him? Because that's where it is, isn't it? That really is where it is. Well, he prays, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. Could that be the Lord speaking to you? Open the eyes of us that we may see. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around. The spirits, your eyes were open and his life is changed forever. When we see Jesus, that's the greatest miracle of all times, isn't it? I mean, how we like to see arms put back on, or legs put back on, or a head put back on, or whatever. But in the physical realm, that is nothing compared to salvation, is it? Because salvation is eternal. Even when the bodies were raised from the dead, the various ones in the scriptures, they were going to die again. So it was extension of life, but it wasn't permanent raising from the dead until after Jesus conquered death, right? So when someone comes, if one person in your ministry, one person comes to the Lord, that's worth it all, isn't it? One person. Because God values the life of one person more than all the things in the world. That's how important we are. You say, well, I'm not satisfied with one. I want 1,000. Well, you'll see people saved that the Lord once saved. But we want to be faithful in what he has for us to do, right? At any rate, the glory of the Lord appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran. There we read in Acts 7:2, and in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. So we have these instances in the scripture where the eyes are opened and they see. And we've had references to that in our messages here at the conference as well. This is a great example for us that the spiritual reality is far more important than the physical reality. And for the child of God, you're in a trouble, you're in a trial, because the Lord loves you so much, he doesn't want to leave you the way you are. So you need to ask and go into these things. And rather than, oh, woe is me, pray for me, you won't believe all the warfare I'm going through, oh, it's so hard. Say, why? Why am I going through this? Lord, what do you have for me in this? You're allowing this to happen. And can I learn from it? What can I learn from it? This is just not a fruitless exercise that the Lord puts you through. Now, I'm not talking about improper decisions on your own self that get you in trouble. That's another story. But the things that the Lord sent us, I like Psalm 119, verse 75, says, O Lord, I know that your judgments are right and that in your faithfulness you have afflicted me. How do you like that verse? I love it and I marked it out. No. Lord, do you have to be so faithful? But here I am praying for patience. Here I am praying to hate my sin. Here I'm praying to have more love for one another. How are those prayers going to be answered? I don't think it's going to, and more faith. Oh yeah, Lord, give me more faith. Woo, there's a good prayer. You want to see some difficult times in your life, pray for more faith. And when you're going through the crusher and you say, Lord, what's going on? This is impossible. And you said, well, you prayed for more faith. Where's your faith, right? Well, back to this again. We then see that the servant says, not now in a sense, or the issue is not, alas, we're doomed, but alas, they're doomed. We talk about Satan so often spiritual warfare, and that's good to be aware of that, but Satan's a loser. He was defeated 2,000 years ago. God has left him there as an alternative of choice to see that the choice is who loves him, right? But Satan's a loser. Don't give him too much credit. He's on a leash. He's a created being. And he can't have you. And in fact, in the name of Jesus, he must flee. Not alas, we're doomed, but alas, they're doomed. So now we see the Lord accomplishing victory here for Israel over Syria. And it's a very interesting way, the way the Lord does it here. The best way for you to get rid of your enemies is to make them your friend, right? Think about modern warfare. If you read any and see any documentaries of World War II, well, say you look at some of the Guadalcanal movies or those things, or the bombings, and it is so much destruction, and it's so costly, so tremendously costly. Now, here's a way to conquer your enemies with just bread and water. The Lord blinds the whole group, and then they lead them 12 miles into Samaria, which is the capital of Israel. And then there's another miracle, and say, open their eyes. Now they open their eyes, and they're in the citadel there, in a sense, in Samaria, surrounded by all the Israeli soldiers, the northern tribe soldiers. And they say, oh, can we kill them? Can we kill them? Can we kill them? He says, no. These are not really your prisoners. They're God's prisoners. He brought them here to you. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to prepare a great feast for them and feed them. Feed our enemy. And we see them feeding the enemy. Says verse 26, then he prepared a great feast for them, and after they ate and drank, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of the Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. Enemies in your camp, enemies of your ministry, pray about how you can make them your friends. Of course, the way you can make them your friends is see the Lord bring them to himself, and then they become on our side, not against us. So we are not to return evil for evil. We're to return good for evil. Isn't that what the child of God is? The world returns good for good, so that's not a big deal. But the world also returns evil for evil. But we are to return good for evil. And in this case, a great example of that, where they returned good for evil and they eliminated the enemy. Father, we thank you for the study this morning in this passage, and we thank you for the difference between the physical reality and the spiritual reality. So open our eyes that we may see. Open our ears that we may hear you. And Lord, you've given us this great gift of prayer that we can pray alone or together. And here we have the opportunity to pray together. Such a beautiful opportunity. So Lord, lead us now as we would pray in one accord as we are led by one Spirit, Lord. Lead us in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for allowing us to see you spiritually, for opening our eyes and opening our ears to hear you. And Lord, anoint each of these eyes and ears that are in this room and others as well, other believers, that we would indeed hear you and see you. We would honor you this day with our hearts, and we would love you more and love your word more and love one another more. So guide us now by your Spirit, and may we be usable today, Lord. So point us to those who need a touch on encouragement or whatever, Lord, you would have us to do. Lord, we just want to be here to serve you. And we again lift up those who are going through especially difficult times today. And yet, Lord, we know that you're going to even be working through each one of those for your good. And so help us to be comfort where comfort is needed, and an encouragement where encouragement is needed. And just pray where prayer is needed. In Jesus' name, amen.